Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to be here with us today. As the name says, our listeners are business creators, and they fall into one or more of several different categories. We have our entrepreneurs, which includes small business owners and local business owners. We have marketing and business coaches. We have the folks who help others build their businesses. And on the other side of that coin, we have the do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers as you grow your business. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore our episodes, and discover how we and our guest experts help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. Now, every so often, we get one of those episodes, we get one of those guests that we know is just going to be a ton of fun. And one of the things that I love is seeing a contrarian view or a different viewpoint to the same language that everybody else is talking about. Those who follow my business, those who've been following the Business Creators Radio Show, have heard me refer to something called the website conversion conversation, because everybody else is out there talking about know, like, and trust. They've heard me say that the absolute last thing you could ever want in your business, the thing you absolutely do not want in your business, is traffic to your website. And now, today, we have Jason Swink with us, who's going to share with us why the marketing funnel is dead. And just to tell you a little bit about Jason, I'm going to let him tell you in his own words. Jason Swink of jasonswink.com is the defender of truth, justice, and effective business practices. And he has special business and marketing powers. His mission is to save the galaxy one business at a time. Operating out of his office in Solitude in Atlanta, Georgia, Jason makes the most of his in-the-trenches experience in today's cutting-edge business marketing strategies to help innocent businesses defend themselves against villainous competition. Jason, welcome aboard.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Wonder Twin Powers Unite. Let's do this thing. All right. Before we dive in, because I know you're going to be sharing some very interesting stuff with us here today, let's take a step back. Give those of our listeners who may not have heard of you yet a chance to get to know you a little bit. So just tell us a little bit about your background and what's brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to chat with everybody. But I started my career in 99. I used to work for Arthur Andersen, the paper shredding company, before they screwed up Enron and screwed up the industry. But after that, after I worked for them for a brief 6 months, after I saw them shredding papers, I wanted to really kind of dive into owning my own business. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I never knew how I was going to do it. And while I was working for Arthur Andersen, one of my friends looked just like Justin Timberlake. And I said, hey, you know, I know how to design websites. Let me design this website just for fun. And I called it In Shit. And it got really popular. And when this thing took off, people started asking me to design websites. And so that was my calling, in order to design websites for people. So I ran a digital agency where we did websites and marketing for companies for 12 years and sold it couple of years ago, and now I work with business owners and helping them scale and get to the next level.
Arthur Andersen, the paper shredding company. That's kind of hilarious. I almost forgot about the Enron thing for a minute and didn't quite see where you're going with that. That's hilarious. Do you mean to say you literally walked in on him shredding paper?
I was kidding. That happened long after I was gone. So.
Right. I was going to say that would be kind of hilarious. That'd be kind of a great story, and I could see how that could inspire you to help innocent businesses defend themselves against villainous competition. I love your model here. And anybody who goes to your website and sees the video on your about page, first of all, you have your cat in the video, so it already gets four paws up for me. But then just to hear you describe your free offer, that in itself is just absolutely hilarious, and I love when people take that stand. It's just great. Now, here's one other thing before we get into this whole thing about marketing funnels. Here on the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. And a lot of listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement anything that anybody, including Jason Swink, tells them they need to do except for time and money. Now, this is a question we ask every expert who appears on Business Creators Radio Show. And what I like is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of ways the question is interpreted. So how do time and money impact what you're going to share with us today?
Well, I mean, I'm a big believer that systems outperform talent all day long, right? And the only difference between a really successful entrepreneur and someone struggling is the systems that they have in place. And it's all about really not having to spend all the time, you know, just kind of in the business rather than working on the business. And it doesn't take all, I mean, it's amazing with all the technology out there of how much time you can save, how much you can start a business with hardly anything. I mean, literally, when I started my agency, I think I had a $400 computer. You know, I started looking at the expenses when I started this business that's extremely profitable. It's a seven-figure business. And literally, I'm spending less than, I think, $3,000 or $4,000 a month, right, on,
right,
you know, expenses to run everything. So it's an incredible time.
I love that thought about that, how we use technology to simplify and emancipate the power of information. So we spend less time editing and maintaining and more time educating and monetizing. And this is a lesson that I try and teach people all the time. I mean, in our own business, we automate a lot of things here. For instance, our entire scheduling process. And I tell even my own current clients, people who give me five digits worth of money, I even say to them, don't ever, 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 ever email me with a question like, hey, when do you have a minute to talk? Get on my scheduler and put yourself in and tell me what you want to talk about. I will be there. So because us going back and forth, or even paying my assistant to go back and forth with them four times over that, is an absolute waste of time when there are a plethora of systems out there that can allow them to just do it themselves, even at 3 o'clock in the morning, without having to wait, wonder, or worry when they're going to get a response. They can just do it. And I love working with people who are the same way when it comes to these types of things. And as far as other types of technologies, I mean, certainly I don't encourage people to go cheap, especially with things like web hosting and things like that, because you can really lose your shirt that way in terms of uptime and security and things like that. But you can be so economical, and there's so much fat you can trim, so to speak, and you can run a very lean, very effective operation. So I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that, and that's a very good point. Now, you're telling me in the green room before we went live here that the marketing funnel is dead. In fact, I think you invited me to the funeral. So what happened?
Well, you know, everybody is, you know, treating everybody the same. They all have the same, they think everybody wants the same end result. And they think they want to just funnel everybody at the very top and then funnel everybody down the same way. Like, you know, everybody probably listening probably knows, like, Jeff Walker's Sidewalk Launch, right?
Yeah.
Where you get kind of video number one, video number two, video number three.
Of course.
Well, what if you didn't engage in video number one? Why would you send them video number two? Why would you send them video number three? Why wouldn't you spend your effort into getting them to see if they're going to engage in video one? And if they don't engage in video one, treat them differently. Send them something else.
Right.
Right? So it's all about building contingencies into your campaigns and dynamically generating content and behaving differently in order to get the ultimate, you know, goal of getting a new client or getting a new customer or creating a raving fan. Is give them the stuff that they want, but use technology in order to do that.
You raise a very good point there. I myself am a devotee of Jeff Walker's product launch formula. One of the main things we do here at HelpMyWebsiteSell.com is we manage people's product launches for them. And we are very proud of the fact that our services don't, quote unquote, come cheap. And what you said is part of the reason why, because we're not the type of firm that's going to just say, okay, let's pull product launch formula out of the clouds and let's take what you're doing and shove it into product launch formula and automate the whole thing and just sit back. Now, we do the sideways sales letter process and we do the three videos if the client wants to film three videos. That's a variable right there. Sometimes they don't want to film videos at all, so we can't always use that approach. But we don't just create everything and then just put it on autopilot and then sit back. Because as you said, what if they're not engaging at video one? Before we just show them video two, we might want to find out why that is. And the video one engages so well that we might be able to accelerate the timetable or take them in a different direction to move them to the doors open. Why would we not do that? Why would we make them sit through something when we can demonstrate through numbers and through feedback that they're ready to go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's all about when I start breaking it down for people, it's about creating many yeses.
Yes.
Okay? And it's almost kind of like one of my favorite movies is called Moneyball, right? I think everybody's watched it with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Where he's a general manager of a very not really well-funded team. And so what he talks about is, look, all the major league teams are buying players, but they shouldn't be looking at it as buying players. They should look at it as buying people getting on base. So rather than buying a player that always hits home runs, buy the hits. If you start getting on base, that's all they cared about, that's all they wanted, and then they'll eventually win. And that was their formula. And so that's kind of the same formula that I'm taking with marketing and getting rid of the funnel. Like, on this interview, I'm not going to reference funnel anymore. I'm going to refer to it as the F word, right?
The F word. I love it. Okay. So
I want to refer to
F-bombs.
It as a campaign.
No F bombs on us. I got it.
Yeah. So just hit the beep, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, really what you want to do is create those mini yeses. So let's say, now we're talking about kind of the video, you know, the Jeff Walker sideways launch. So let me tell you kind of how I do it and how I recommend people do it so you guys can go implement it right away. So someone opts in for something that you have, you provide them a video. Well, unless they watch that video or even watch a certain percentage of that video, I may respond to them differently. And so I may send them 3 emails to see if I can get them to engage and watch that video fully. Because if they don't watch the whole video, what's the point? They're not engaged. You lost them somewhere. So then you have to kind of figure out how to get their engagement again. So after they engage, let's say I send them 3 emails, they finally engage on the last one, then I'm going to move them to video number 2. In video number 2, I'm going to have a call to action, maybe to jump on an early bird list, right? Maybe that's my next mini yes.
Right.
And then let's say they don't jump on that early bird list, no problem. I'm going to send them, you know, to a traditional kind of video sales letter later on where I add scarcity and saying, you know, hey, this video is going to go down in 4 days, or even better yet, this video is going to go down on June or July 4th. So make sure you watch it before it goes down and then offer them something. And then let's say they don't engage, right? That's no problem. You have a contingency built in. Maybe I invite them to a webinar. Right, and then maybe they don't take me up on the webinar, no problem. Maybe I send them a long sales letter. Maybe they just want to read and they don't want to look at my stupid face, right?
Right.
And so you're just constantly bolting on different campaigns to each other in order to, you know, get that person to the end goal. And there may be multiple end goals. So I have multiple products that I sell. I have mastermind groups. I have one-on-one coaching. So, you know, I have 4 or 5 things that could be an end goal for someone rather than just one.
Sure. And I love, and I want to pull this out a little bit here, is some people may look at what you just described and they say, well, isn't that an F word? How is that different from an F word? Because we are moving them down a F word towards something. Uh-huh. And for those who just tuned in, when I say F word, we're referring to funnels, because Jason's telling us the marketing funnel is dead. Because sometimes we get people who tune in late. That's another thing you probably know from managing webinars and managing videos, Jason, is usually when you start one of those things, you have to do a quick check-in about 10 minutes in, because some people show up a little bit late. It's like almost to be expected. So just want to do that real quick. And they may say, but we are moving people. So if they don't watch video 1, we're moving to video 2 and VIP lists and all that. But isn't that like a funnel?
Yeah. Well, a funnel is trying to get someone to the one end result, right?
Right.
You know, a campaign is built around dynamically generating and creating and putting people where they want to be, right?
Right.
So a funnel is really just kind of one, like, big autoresponder, right?
Yes.
But if you look at kind of what, you know, the milestone, I call this milestone marketing, because you're basically trying to get everybody to the next milestone, right?
Correct.
And if they don't get to that milestone, you know, the cool thing is a couple months later or a couple days later, you could say, well, why did they drop off here? But I can rerun that campaign and not start them at the top of the funnel, right, of
right.
where kind of everybody starts, but start them right where they left off at milestone 2 or milestone 3.
Uh-huh. Right. I follow you. I follow. And I see your point, too, because sometimes people are just not ready to engage the first time you show it to them. And it could have absolutely nothing to do with the videos or the emails or the information you're showing them. All of our listeners, I think, have experienced situations where they have had a prospect in their business. And they talked to, they were blue in the face of this prospect. They gave them a proposal and everything else, and they never even got a thank you for the proposal. Then they find out 6 months later, because this person that never took them up on their proposal says, you know, I ended up hiring this other person. They charged me X amount of dollars, which was four times the amount the original person was proposing to charge them. And I'm broke now, but I still need the help because they didn't deliver for me. So can you do it for free? And so what I want our business creators to do is I want you to think about that. And it's not necessarily... They didn't necessarily go with that other company, your competitor, because there was anything wrong with your offer. It's just that at the moment that your competitor approached them and the way they approached them was more in line for them at the time with their expectations and what they were receptive to than what you had. And don't feel bad because sometimes it works the other way. I mean, every squirrel gets a nut once in a while. But what Jason here is saying and what I'm hearing is that, you know, when we think of the F word, a funnel, we think of, well, we're going to set up this whole campaign, and we're just going to try and shove people towards the end result. And here's Jason here saying, and this is what I really need everybody to pay attention to, which is, no, not necessarily. We need to look, do they engage with video one? Do they engage with video two? And tell me this. Let's say you're launching something like that. Is you're also saying that maybe the end result for everybody in what some people might call the funnel, maybe the answer is not necessarily to buy that course. So do you make room to do things like, say, for instance, maybe they're just not going to be a course buyer, but they could be a mastermind joiner. Is that in there at all? Did I hear that?
It's perfect. And the other big difference between a funnel and a campaign is a funnel stops when they buy something. Right? With the milestone marketing campaign, it doesn't stop. It keeps going. It's always, like, for example, like I'm running one campaign right now, you know, as soon as they become a client, right, there's immediate upsells. There's immediate other milestones I want to make sure I hit, whether it be, you know, making sure that their net promoter score is, you know, top of the line. So then I can ask for a recommendation. And then the next milestone is for them to actually provide me a recommendation because we're doing so good, or provide a survey in order to really understand in terms of their own words of why they bought, right?
Right.
So the milestones keep happening even after the purchase or even after the traditional funnel would stop.
Yes. That is so true. I have seen this way too many times. The person makes a purchase and then that's it. Well, as I see it, it's just beginning. Because what is the easiest yes you're going to get in your business? You're going to get that from the person that just said yes.
Yep.
They just gave you $2,000. They're pretty engaged.
Yeah. And even kind of harping on kind of the story that I went through all the time when you said, hey, I sent a proposal out. I never heard back to this guy like for 6 weeks later. And by the time they finally I got in touch with them, they already went with someone, right? Let me tell you something right now in order to stop that completely.
Oh, I love
like,
that.
I will never let you send like, if you want to stop all of your prospects from going silent after you send a proposal, do you guys want to know the number one way to stop it?
Yes.
Don't send the proposal.
Okay.
Right? So what you do is when they say, hey, I love what you're saying, send me a proposal saying, I'd love to do a proposal for you. Here's the deal. I want to be able to present it to you, and I want to be able to review it with you and really build it over time with you to make sure it's right. And when you do that, you'll never have anybody go silent again, and you'll get rid of all the tire kickers out there. We did this with clients like AT&T and Hitachi and LegalZoom and all these. And some people will say, well, no, you just send me the proposal, that's our game. And I said, no, no problem, we just may not be the right fit for you. And we would walk away.
Okay, so when you say present it to them, does that mean that rather than send them a document and follow up and say, hey, did you get it? Do you have a chance to look at it, something like that? Are you saying that what you'll do is you'll schedule a call with them or schedule an in-person with them where you'll walk through it step by step rather than just firing off a document and waiting to see what happens?
Correct.
Okay.
Always review with them, whether it be in person or online or however you want. But never just send the proposal in the dark, because what's going to happen is they're going to turn right to the pricing page and they're going to evaluate you on pricing and not on your process and what you're going to deliver and the results and all of that.
Right. I'm definitely drawing the distinction here. So, and this is where sometimes our Business Creators Radio Show episodes go above and beyond the original premise. So this is fantastic. So let's say that I have somebody who's a prospect. So they come to schedulewithadam.com. They book an appointment with me. We have a great call. They have an exciting product they're going to launch or a campaign they want to build, because those are really the two things we do here. And they say, okay, this is all well and good. Any chance you could send me a proposal? So what I'm going to say in response is that what we want to do instead is schedule a follow-up. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, so I would say, look, I'd love to get your proposal. When's a good date and time that we can meet to review the proposal?
I see. And then we don't send it in advance, but we bring it with us to the meeting.
Exactly.
I see what you mean, because that's something that, I've been doing that halfway right, I guess, and a lot of our listeners, I think, do it halfway right as well, because people send me proposals all the time, is we do the part that's right, whereas you don't quote a number after the first meeting because you haven't had time to research, you haven't had time to process, and you haven't had really a chance to decide if you even want to do this. So you don't put the proposal in the first conversation, and you don't talk about money in the first conversation, because that's a deal killer right there. And if somebody, all they want to know is how much it costs, then they might as well just go to Goodwill or something like that and find the $2.89 section, because that's really what they're looking for, is the cheapest price. So if I wanted to get that business right now, I could just quote a low number and get it, but I wouldn't want to do that. So we get that part right. But the other part is, we want to, rather than throw a document at them, is we want to schedule a time. So actually, I think I've been doing this 3/4 right. What I have been doing up until now, because you've enlightened me. Our listeners know that I'm not only the host, I'm also a student, because I'm looking for the slight edge in my business, is I'll say, okay, well, great, this is awesome. I'll send you the proposal, and I'll have that to you by tomorrow. But what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to schedule our follow-up call that I don't let them get away with just walking away with a piece of paper and that's the end of the conversation. I have them committed to when we're going to talk about it before they even see it. And what you're suggesting is shifting that timeline so that that follow-up call and the presentation of the proposal are at the same time.
That's right. And the one thing, too, that I would do in order to make sure I'm not wasting time with people, within the first 10 minutes, I would have a money conversation with someone.
Okay.
To figure out their budget. And, most of the time when people would say, when you ask someone, what's your budget, most of the time they say, well, I don't have a budget. Or, well, you tell me, right? I mean, and here's my budget buster, right? I'd get the budget 100% of the time, every time. And I would do it two ways. The first one would be like whenever they say, I don't have a budget, I'd say, that's fantastic. I love working with people like you because we don't have to worry about money. We can try all these cool things out that are very innovative. And then you kind of pause for a second and they're like kind of grasping for air. And you'll be like, oh, so you do have a budget. I was just kidding. And then I act as a reverse auctioneer, right, where I say, so I can make sure I'm right for you. What kind of range are you trying to stay around? And I would literally start at like $1 million, $900,000, $800,000, $750, and just keep going down until I could figure out a range to make sure I was not wasting my time. Because I had so many people coming to me wanting to do the next YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn put together for a certain industry, but different, and had a $1,000 budget. I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Everybody listening, if you're listening to this live, make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe and get your download of this and listen to this again, because you're going to want to hear what Jason just shared with you. He basically demystified the process of getting responses on your proposals and pre-qualifying prospects before you get too deep with them, because within the first 10 minutes, if you find out that they're really just looking for a $200 squeeze page. Now, if you're in a $200 squeeze page business at this point, just go for the close. But otherwise, you could be wasting a lot of time building an $8,000, $10,000 marketing proposal for somebody just not going to spend the money. I would not want to see that happen to you. So this is a great segue, Jason. And overall, what should people be doing to convert more sales? We talked about the difference between a funnel, the F word, and a campaign. And we talked a little bit about how to get your proposals responded to more positively. So overall, how are we going to get more sales?
Well, it's all about knowing what your client's biggest challenges are and being able to specialize in order to determine that. You know, there's too many people that want to go after everybody. They look at the bigger companies in their industry and they go, oh, I need to do that. I need to do everything. So in the agency world, the smaller agencies would look at the bigger agencies and be like, well, they're going after all these markets and they're putting their stupid portfolio on their page. And they're putting all this about stuff all over their page, and they're duplicating it. And they're duplicating complete crap.
Yeah.
And they're doing it wrong versus focusing on a specialization, because they didn't see where they started out. It's kind of like Facebook, right? If someone wanted to build Facebook, you know, they're like, I need to go after everybody. But Facebook didn't start out that way. They started out going after Harvard students.
Yes, I remember.
And then Ivy League, and then college, and then high school, and then all us old farts, right? So, you know, that's how they started. So you have to go super narrow first to understand their biggest challenges, provide useful information to them, ask them for many yeses, right? So don't lead with your core service or your core product. Think about, like, when I work with agency owners and business owners in the service industry, I tell them to create their own service offering funnel, right? So most of the people in the service-based business would love to sell retainers because it's scalable or it's predictable and you make a lot of money over the year, right? But it's so hard to do that. It's like pitching marriage, going up to like the opposite sex right away and saying, will you marry me? Hell no, they won't, right? So why would you do that in business? Right? It's the same way. Come up to them and, you know, say, what's a little small slice of a service that I do now that I could offer to them, like a strategy call? And then don't go into the retainer because that's a huge commitment. So go for a 90-day project. And then from that 90-day project, take it down to a retainer. And the funny thing is a lot of times the people in the service-based business, they sell these retainers, but it's month to month. I'm like, that's not a retainer. You're a contractor.
It's a monthly fee is what it is. And then when you get into this retainers, and it, you know, the retainer includes 10 hours, no matter how much you put up things like, you know, like use it or lose it, we don't carry over, we don't build banks or anything like that. You know, I guarantee if you're listening to this call today and you had the idea that you were going to start a retainer business, and it's going to be the type of thing where we're going to do 10 hours of marketing support a month. And if 30 days from now you use 7 of those 10 hours, even if you have them sign and fax back to you a piece of paper that says, we understand that we are paying for 10 hours. If we don't use them, we lose them. They do not roll over. I guarantee 30 days from now they're going to be asking where they get credit for those other 3 hours. And I'm going to half guarantee you they're going to turn nasty if you reinforce the whole thing that they just lost them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And by turning nasty, could mean anything from threatening chargebacks to say, well, okay, you're fired. Just mark my words. Mark my words. So, Jason, thank you for pointing that out, because I see people make that mistake all the time. And when people ask me about my retainers, I tell people we just don't do them. Just don't do it. Just doesn't make sense. So I love what you're saying about the idea of finding something that you can do to get the relationship going. And that's what I love to do with my clients. Before we ink the $10,000 deal, I'm looking for the $2,500 result that we can turn around in 30 days or less.
Yeah.
That's I really want to drive that. Now, we're about halfway through here, and I have heard you a few times mention something called milestone marketing. And I know we've touched on various bits and pieces of it as we've gone through the distinction between a funnel and a campaign, what we've looked at in terms of how to help people with their proposals, how to convert more sales. But walk us through this milestone marketing concept.
Yeah. So, I mean, milestone marketing is really a way of breaking your campaigns into simple milestones that, you know, dynamically behave different based on, you know, the user engagement or the interaction. So, like, so when you think of like a campaign, if you look at any one of my campaigns, you could be overwhelmed based on all the conditions. But if you start looking at it and working backwards and thinking about, all right, what's the end goal? What's the end result? So let's say I wanted to get more coaching clients. All right.
Right.
So in order for someone to start working with me on coaching, what's the last interaction do they have to have before they give me money to coach? They need to chat with me, right?
Yeah.
So that's the last logical step. So now I'm like, okay, so they need to have a conversation. Or, and then what's before that? How do I have a conversation with them? Well, I'm like, well, based on my criteria that I look, I want them to fill out an application, right? And so I'm like, okay, so that's the next kind of logical milestone that I'm going to go through. And then I'm going to say, well, in order for them to fill out an application, what's the thing before that? And I'll say, well, they'll have to watch. They have to know what the session is that they're getting on. They have to understand what's the possible outcome, how does it work, what's the criteria, all this. So I start working logically back and thinking. Then I start thinking of all the many yeses, and all the many yeses are milestones. And you have a number of different ways that you can break it up. So if it's a yes or no, right? The yes is obviously going down the path that you want. If it's a no, then you're going to take them down to contingency. And usually that's sending them to another campaign. And I can talk about the multiple campaigns that you should have. Now, if it's kind of a multiple choice, right? So a multiple choice could be like an email to someone saying, what's your biggest challenge you're struggling with? Are you struggling with cash flow? Are you struggling with generating leads? Are you struggling with, you know, wanting to, you know, put your hands around your employee's neck and ring them up, right? All those different things are different outcomes, right? And so you can take them down different paths. And so you really want to kind of build that. But when you start looking at it as the different milestones, it breaks your campaigns and makes it so easy to follow. So you know where people fall off, so you can restart them at a later date. You know where they're making it through, right? And you can adjust. And so I can look at these complex campaigns that I have, that I used to have, and when I started putting milestones to them, it made it so easy. And then I can communicate to my team, I can communicate to my clients and going, oh, they're making it to milestone two, and we have 10 milestones, right? They're not even 50% through the campaign. When I started doing this, and I literally came up with this concept about 3 months ago, I implemented it 2 months ago, my income is dramatically increased by 58%. My opportunities, my sales opportunities, I'm not talking about leads, I'm talking about people reaching out to me, filling out applications, went up 256%.
Wow.
By doing this.
That is something. So keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the campaigns that was really, really successful for me, this was just a test. I literally sent out a test to 3,000 people. I had 500 people respond. And I did it differently, right? So most people send out an email, and it says, if you're interested in chatting with me and having a free consultation, which if you're offering a free consultation, if you're calling it a free consultation, stop, or I'm going to find you, I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to slap you.
Okay.
Right? Don't do that. Call it like an acceleration session or a blueprint or something else, because that just has a bad name, because they know you're going to try to sell them something, even though you are. And so I sent out an email. I said, rather than clicking on this link and opting in to get more information, I said, hey, if you want me to do this really cool thing for you, just reply to this email. Just hit reply, and I will send you the details of how this will work. I had 500 people respond. Now, I had this all automated through my system, which was pretty cool. I didn't have to manually respond, but it looked like it was for me, and it looked personal. And then, basically, they get a video, and they say, great, I created this 5-minute-long video for you. It tells you exactly how this is going to work, the possible outcome, go do it. And then at the end of the video, they can actually apply. And so I add all these mini hoops. So I'm getting rid of all the tire kickers, and I'm only getting people very, very serious. And when I did this, about my closing rate of the people I was chatting with, because I'm talking to the right people, are about 95%.
That is great. And I love the idea. You talk about milestones, and some of our listeners who are familiar with website conversions will recognize the similarity between milestones and micro commitments. The many yeses that lead to the yes is something that I call it. It's just the idea that we're not building people up for the big hand them the pen moment. We're getting them to say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. So that your natural reaction to anything that Jason Swank says or Adam Homey says is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You just keep
you're
saying yes to
them.
Us. Yes.
Yeah, you're training them. I mean, that's kind of like sales 101.
Kind right.
You look at them, you shake your head, yeah, and you say, you don't want to die, right? You want to give me money, yes.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So it's like, you want to live, right? Yes. You don't want to die. You want to stick around, yes. Do you like cats? Yes. Do you want to make money in your business? Yes. Do you want to work with me? Yes. Do you want to give me money? Yes. So we're just train them with the idea that the natural reaction to you and to your marketing is to say yes. And what's really also good about having milestones is it does allow you to take out tire kickers without that always being so dramatic. I mean, you're always going to get a few people. Like when I have people who want to work with me, I usually have them fill out an intake form before we even get on the phone with them. And if somebody balks at doing that, then they're automatically rolled out.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, by doing the mini yeses and the milestones, what you're doing is you're taking and you're putting them in control for what
right.
you think, for what they think, right? Because what so many companies and people do when they're trying to sell something, what do they talk about themselves? They talk about them, and that's actually wrong. You need to be focusing on them. So how can you focus on them? Ask them questions. We're human beings. We love you. Ask someone a question, if I can say that right. They're programmed to answer.
Yes.
So ask questions, and that's the whole principle around milestone marketing. And just, I mean, you can even call it milestone selling, really, if you want, because it doesn't stop after the deal is done. It just keeps continually going and going and going. And I always challenge people to think of what's the next milestone. They'll be like, oh, that's the last milestone. No, what's the last one? What's the last one? Keep going, keep going, keep going. And when you start doing that, that's when things really start kicking up for you, and you start getting a lot of traction.
Yeah, that is exactly what I tell people all the time in my own business, is to look at this. I mean, I've been calling them micro commitments, and Jason refers to milestone marketing, but it's really very similar concepts. So you see that some marketing concepts really are universal, which is how we frame them. So I got to ask again, because I know that the working title of what we're doing here is the marketing funnel is dead. At what point were we able to pronounce it?
You know, I think we probably could have done it a number of different years ago. I think you could pronounce it dead, and all this cool technology came out where it could do dynamic behavioral marketing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's when the funnel really died, or should have died. But people keep using it, and people keep saying, I love building funnels, and I'm going to build more funnels. I'm like, no, because you're treating everybody the same. Think about how you can treat everybody like you're doing marketing for one. Just market to one person. That's really what you want to do, because you want to look at that ideal prospect for you and how can you market to them. And then it'll just start branching out.
Right. Certainly. Well, here's one thing that I love about this is we had some people who saw that you were going to be on the Business Creators Radio Show who pre-submitted a couple questions. And I think now would be a great time to ask a couple of those. And just based on some of the things you've shared with us up until now. Now, we've been talking about milestone marketing and we've been comparing that to micro commitments, getting people used to the idea of saying yes. And one of our listeners wanted to know your thoughts on whether or not when somebody's on your list already, if you should have them opt in again. They are adamant that once somebody is opted in, it's an insult to ask them to opt in again. And my question is, how do you segment in that case?
I mean, why would you feel bad for having them opt in again? I mean, so
yeah.
I guess it depends on, you know, if it's a double opt-in, right?
Right.
You know, if they have to, you know, that would be a pain in the ass. But, you know, I don't see any problem with, like, if someone's already on my list and they go to a video and then I have a call to action on the bottom of that video to make sure that they're interested to get another little mini yes, right? I have no problem with doing another opt-in, you know, for them there, because that's going to trigger the next campaign and they want that information. So, you know, most of the time what I've been doing on webinars is, and I've been trying this out, and I'm kind of in a 50-50. I'm trying to figure it out more. So I have a pretty big list, and I sent out to my list that, hey, I'm doing this webinar. Just click on this link if you want to come, right? Very easy yes. All they have to do is click on the link, and they're registered, and then they'll get reminders and all that. I used to do it where I would make them opt in again. Now, with just a one-step opt-in, I had more people showing up with the one-step opt-in, even though it was a little harder. So I'm still kind of going back and forth. So, but I have no problems with asking for another opt-in.
Right, because I'm just thinking to myself. I mean, how do you segment people then? And it's also my personal thought, and this is something where I've gone back and forth with one of my own other clients who has fortunately listened to me in most cases, is they want to do, like, let's say they want to do a webinar, and the idea is to promote their coaching program or promote their events or something where they're moving people towards a goal. And I mean, we want to send out this opportunity to everybody on their list, which has almost 50,000 names and emails on it. And we want to do no opt-in required. Well, how do we know who's interested?
Yeah,
because your other option is just to continue to carpet bomb the list and assume everybody is a prospect and annoy a lot of people and end up having a lot of your previous paying customers unsubscribe because they really just don't want this new thing. So why would I not want to find out who is going to show up for this webinar, because now I know who I can hit with the sequence of messages around that event, around that program, around that product, versus who's just going to take a pass on this one.
That's right.
This is one of the biggest, to this day, believe it or not, frustrations that we have when it comes to folks who are launching products, launching services, anything like that, where they don't want to segment, they don't want to have people confirm, and then at the same time, they don't really want to send any emails. I have had folks come to me say, well, you know, I have 20 years of credibility, my people know me, they trust me, so I just don't understand why I can't just send an email saying this is available and ask for the money. And when somebody comes to me with that and it happens with stupefying regularity, I laugh.
No.
If I'm on a telephone or I'm on Skype with them, I will laugh at that statement. I don't mean it to be outright insulting, but I'm thinking, come on, you really think that 20 years of know, like, and trust means they're going to buy from you today? Are you kidding me? I mean, have you looked at social media?
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right. So Jason, here's another thing that I'd like to get into here is, let's say that you don't have anything to offer right now. Two-part question here is, should you now come up with something to offer, or should you find a way to keep things sort of like buzzing along at a basic order and basic level until you have an offer, and in which case, what would you do? Which of those two approaches would you recommend?
So I would do kind of like a survey. If I didn't have an offer, I mean, this is kind of what I did. I mean, I kind of fell into what I'm doing now, because people kept asking me the same questions over and over, and I said, well, let me just create a site. And I didn't even have a program. I didn't do consulting, I didn't do a mess run, anything.
Right.
But then I was like, you know, what can I create? So literally, from the blog, I just said, hey, if you like this blog, subscribe, which is actually a no-no, right?
You right.
Give them something of value first. But people were subscribing. And then what I did from the people subscribing is I just asked them a simple question. I said, what's your biggest challenge that is keeping you up at night? Because the the bigger the problem, like, if you want to know how to make a lot of money, find the biggest problem people are having that's costing them a lot of money and solve it.
Right.
And so by asking them, like, if anybody jumps on my list, so if you went to jasonswank.com/agency tips, the first email that you're going to get when you join my list is, hey, thanks for joining the list. What is your biggest challenge? If you email me your challenge, I will try to I will respond to you, and I respond to everybody. I can do that still, thank God. But I'm crazy with email, so I love responding to email. But I will literally respond to them because they are actually helping me out because I understand their biggest challenges. I get it in their own words, and then I can create a program solving their challenge. Or sometimes, even better yet, I can call them up and I could say, if I could solve this for you, what would this be worth to you? And then you could, you know, we did this all the time in the agency business. We said, oh, you need to build this kind of custom application? We'll build this for you. It's going to cost you $10,000, but we own the intellectual property. They paid us $10,000 to develop it, and then we owned the product and we could sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, see these are all fantastic things to think about here, and I love the idea of doing a survey. When in doubt, do a survey. Ask a question. Get the answers to the question, because if somebody has a burning need, if somebody needs help, if there's something that is on their mind enough that they are willing to tell you about it, they're also willing to pay you to make it go away. It's been my approach all along, and rather than assume that somebody knows this, I'm reminded, this happened about a year ago. There's a person I know, and I'm not going to say any names or even mention their gender because I have a lot of respect for their work. They are a copywriter, and I'm on their list. And it had been a long time since I'd received any emails from them at all about anything. And then suddenly I get an email from them saying, in 3 hours, I'm going to be opening the doors to such and such and such. I think it was like a $77 course or something like that. And this email went on for 12 scrolls on my desktop. It was like a long-form sales letter inside an email. And then 3 hours later, I got the email again. It was basically the same thing, except now the doors are open. And I'm thinking to myself, is there a method to this madness? Because I don't really feel very engaged here. I'm wondering if this was just a test they were running to see if that type of marketing still works or could be made to work. I don't know. I mean, I believe in flash sales. I have my clients do flash sales all the time, and it's a great way to put some extra money in the bank. But it's also a well you don't go to too often. And if you're looking to create something new, See, here's my thing. I've had people argue with me, why do we need to do product launches? And if we want to translate this to what Jason Swank is doing, why do we need to do campaigns? Why can't we just make offers and have people buy? And my answer to that is, well, then why does Macy's have a Christmas sale? Why do car dealerships run ads? Because after all, they sell cars, and we know what a car does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, you know, the biggest thing to any of these campaigns is they got to all stand by themselves. It's not all an offer, right? It's literally goodwill. And so you're putting out useful information that helps, which builds credibility, authority, and separates you from everybody else. If you help, you don't have to sell. All you have to do is help. And when you do that, people will come to you, and they will trust you. So in any of my campaigns, like whether it be video or content or anything, they literally can get a tremendous amount of value from any of that if they take action. And most of the time, what happens is they go implement like the Budget Buster or, you know, the how to convert 80% of the proposals or whatever it is. They take my tips and they come back and go, Jason, that worked. I was like, I know it works. And they're like, what can I buy from you? Here. Because it makes the decision very easy.
Yeah, I see, and that's the thing. And we also want to talk about selling without selling. That's another phrase that is tested very well through our marketing research. And think about that. That is selling without selling. If you give them something and they can take it and they can run with it and they can get results from it, you're going to have their attention. Mm-hmm. I know that in my own business, I know that I have succeeded when somebody says to me, this is one of the best testimonials I've ever gotten, and I wish this person was still a client because I would keep her with me till the day that I decide not to do this business anymore. But unfortunately, well, fortunately for her because it worked out very well, but unfortunately for me, she got a big promotion in her corporate job and had to shut down her entrepreneurial venture. But she gave me the greatest testimonial that I've ever gotten, which is, after I saw how well your free stuff worked, I had to have the paid version.
Mm-hmm.
We used to plaster that all over everything, and that was one of the best testimonials we've ever gotten. Unfortunately, because the nature of what she was doing in her entrepreneurial venture was such a conflict with what she does at work, it was also stated in her employment agreement that she had to have the entrepreneurial venture taken down and basically all traces removed. So she had to ask us very nicely with a ton of regret if we could please not use the testimonial anymore. And I cried. I needed consolation. I needed consolation, a big hug, and a good cigar before I got over that one. I wish her well, and last time I spoke with her, which was about a year ago, she was doing extremely well with her career. But, man, it was the best testimonial I ever got. I'm looking for somebody else to say that. People were saying it, but in different ways.
Well, I feel bad that she actually went back to working for the man.
Right.
You know, I'm an unemployable entrepreneur. I try to work for the man after I sold my company, and it just ain't working. And, I mean, the kind of business that we're in right now, the freedom that we have, you know, I work less than 100 hours a month because of all these systems, and I can do whatever. I mean, I'm doing the Griswold vacation Saturday with my family. We're driving all over the country. So
nice! I love cross-country drives. Yeah, I finally did one 2 years ago when I moved from Pittsburgh to Las Vegas. I said, "Well, to heck with this, I'm driving it." I use my moving budget. I use that basically to pack my library in boxes and then ship that ahead to a UPS store where they held on to it until I got here. But as far as moving my clothes and my computers and such, I packed that in the car and I road tripped that bad boy. It was nice. I got to see pieces of the country that I might never have seen. And my only regret about that is I did not time my journey through Kansas properly because I missed out on the Eisenhower Birthplace and the Bob Dole Institute, both of which are right along Route 70 in Kansas. Those are two things I want to see. So one of these days I'm going to get back to Kansas on Route 70 and make a day out of it just so I can hit those two things. They're only about 2 or 3 hours apart. I could have done them both in the same day if I had timed Kansas better.
Nice.
That's the only mistake I made is I put too much of a time frame on that. So Jason, when you do this with this Griswold vacation, I mean, do you have like specific ports of call where you have to be in such and such a city by such and such a time, or are you just allowing yourself X amount of time to see how it goes and you'll pick a hotel when you're ready to call it a night?
Yeah, well, my family lives in Long Island, so we have to be up there on the second, but
right. We're
literally driving to Virginia and then going by the Amish and Lancaster. I found a city that was literally named after my family called Swanksville.
Yes.
That's where we're originally from. So I'm actually going to stop there and figure out what kind of town this really is. So, you know, I mean, we're just going to kind of wing it and see where it takes us. So it should be fun. So.
Right. And the reason I brought this up is I just want to check in. Your campaigns are still going to be running while you're doing this?
Oh, all the time. You know, I literally for Father's Day, I went away for 4 days. When I came back, I had, other than me looking at the applications, I had 5 meetings totally set up.
Nice.
When I came back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So,
Go ahead.
You know, it's all on autopilot.
That is why multi-purposing your content and structuring these campaigns is the way to go. I mean, the majority, I would say the absolute majority of the prospects that I get in my business, I do nothing to get. It's just because I have so many things on autopilot. In fact, things that are so subtle that people don't even always recognize they're my autopilots. I have leads coming in left and right, and I have cherry-picked awesome prospects just showing up on my schedule. And I am thinking, I don't know who this person is. I have to research them. And then I find out, oh, well, they came from this podcast interview I did, or they are a client of so-and-so, or I'm a regular visitor to their webinars, or we share a client, or there's such-and-such that I met in such-and-such events. It's because I'm constantly putting subtleties out there. Is I'm getting these results, and because I'm projecting out to the world what it is I'm looking for. I'd like to spend just a minute on that before we wrap up here, is in terms of building these campaigns, building your image, building your brand and everything else, what can we be doing on an ongoing basis to make sure that we are constantly getting leads and opportunities from sources where we don't even have to nurture it? What's your method for that, Jason?
Yeah, so I obsess over helping, and I obsess over the target market that I'm going after, and my whole goal is to be the number one resource for agency owners, right? And so I'm always putting out valuable content. So I have a podcast where I do it once a week,
yep.
And then I put out other possible content. Now, I don't put out that content to attract new people. I do that to make constantly stay in contact with people after they go through all of my campaigns. I literally have 8 campaigns all bolted together.
Yep.
And then it's all dynamic. And then after that, then they start getting my weekly content. And so I just obsess over helping and just being there as a resource that I wish I had when I was running my business. And if you do that and you really focus on providing goodwill and just doing things honorably and respectful and just helping, there's no reason why your business can't take off. But if you start making decisions based on money, you start making decisions based on how can I make a quick sale and just sell this person, and selling people what you want them to buy versus what they need to buy, it's going to be a different story for you.
I had a little challenge in my business, and our regular listeners have heard me mention this before. About 6 to 9 months ago, I got in trouble with my business, and we got into a real financial pickle. And you know why that is? It's not because we were failing. It's because we were succeeding beyond our wildest dreams, and it came so fast that we didn't update our systems fast enough. I owned that, and I went back and fixed it. Now, what I did, even during that nadir period, is we still kept the Business Creators Radio Show going, and we continued to have awesome interviews. We still reached out for prospects, and what I did is I said, okay, well, now's the time where we need to start digging that well. We need to start tapping those streams again. And here we are 4 to 5 months later, and I've got things coming at me from everywhere. It's because I remembered that old adage, if you find yourself thirsty now, that means you should have dug the well 6 months ago.
Right. Yeah, it's all about having the right systems in place in order to not go through those huge kind of, peaks and valleys.
Right.
Right. And it's, it's also too, one of the sayings that I always tell people is when you get too busy, you're not charging enough. Raise
yes.
your prices.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when you start doing that, but I look at businesses as you need 12 systems, right. In order to, and I'm not talking about technology, I'm just talking about overall, right. You need 12 systems in order to really kind of walk away from the business if you wanted to, other than like setting the vision and direction and looking at the financials. You should get to that point where you're doing that and your team is building it. Then you're building a valuable asset that someone could buy one day, right?
Yes.
And it's less stressful. I went through it as well. I mean, I was 2 weeks away from just closing up shop.
Uh-huh.
And the only way I got through it was just creating the right systems where, I had a huge pipeline coming, but then as all the business came in, we still had a delivery system where we could
yes.
deliver everything and not worry. Or I had a partner network or onboarding network. I mean, it was just, you have to think of your whole business and all the systems that you need in place and making sure that it's all scalable rather than just solving the quick thing right now.
Exactly, exactly. And that is a great place for us to wrap up here, because that really is a great philosophy behind why you need to be doing campaigns and why you need to be doing milestone marketing. So first of all, Jason Swank, thank you so much. This has been not only an honor, but an education.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Right. And I want to make sure that all of our listeners know, make sure to go to Jason's website at jasonswank.com. And what I'm going to leave you with, guys, is go to his About page and watch his video where he shares what you're going to get when you sign up for the free tips. Just trust me on this. I'm just going to leave it there. Sometimes we have our guests go on for several minutes about what they have to offer, but I'm just going to leave that with you. Trust me. You will write to me, and you'll thank me. So, again, Jason, thank you very much for being here.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com, and also subscribe to us on iTunes, where we help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.